Hello, you're listening to Auroville Radio. I'm your host, Albert Abosef, and today we will explore the intimate connection between music, art, and the brain. Music has been an integral part of human society since prehistoric time, appearing in the religious and cultural traditions of civilizations all over the world. The evolution of music throughout history has given us insight into the practices of various cultures and has allowed us as humans to cultivate a common bond that seems to transcend both language and tradition. Music has also played an important role in the healing process. It's been used by shamans and healers alike in the civilizations of ancient Egypt, China, India, and Greece.
I always say one of the original medical tools of humanity, is basically the rattle. When people were brought to the medicine man, what means did he have? The means were plants, twigs. The main conduction of the rituals was through sound.
The first shamans, they knew that they can be in different state of consciousness using specific frequencies of chanting, drumming, dancing, and with these frequencies going in another state of consciousness and open their sight, their gaze, their vision, receiving a vision, a bigger vision, and transmitting after this vision to the community.
And you think of just almost like the transition from primates into humans and how they would work and how they would appear. And whenever there was a wound or something in hunting or an accident, then the first thing what's happening is sounding by the people. You know, they would try to comfort the person or would try to take away the pain and stuff like this. And that was mostly vocal. Through the sounding, basically, there a field of protection, of comfort, of soothing, could be created. I was born on the Hungarian border, and then I lived for quite some years on the Slovenian border of Austria. I think I've always kind of played with that border situation, and I see listening actually as listening across borders.
That's Aurelio. He's a prominent figure in the Auroville community and has worked in sound healing modalities for the past 20 years. He runs this Farum workshop in Auroville where he designs and creates various unique instruments, many of which are used in the therapeutic setting.
Listening is almost like in a different way where scientists work with microscopes and telescopes. I think I tried to be focused over the last 25, 30 years in exploring listening in the same way. You know, first for me it was actually this uprootedness from culture. I mean, I grew up with English singer-songwriters, Bob Dylan, Leonard Cohen, and all of that. And we didn't even understand the lyrics. But we just felt like there was something behind it. With the Beatles, we grew up with all the Beatles songs. Even we didn't know the lyrics about it, but we identified with the songs fully. I was running away from the West. I always had that sense, something's going awry, something not okay. It's just, something went wrong with the system. And I was looking for the origin, almost for the origin of humanity, for primal conditions and what's a basic attitude living with nature.
This alienation from Western culture that Aurelio speaks about led him to begin exploring his own roots, as well as the roots of humanity. He soon found himself traveling around the world, looking for indigenous groups who might be able to give him answers to questions about humanity's past. Aurelio traveled around the world, interacting with various indigenous groups along the way. He lived with the Native Americans in the Southwest, spent time with the natives in Fiji, worked with the Maori people of Polynesia and the Aborigines of East Australia, and finally he ended up in Papua New Guinea, where he says that he was truly inspired.
And I was thrilled to see how much music can be part of everyday activity, be it working, celebrating, accidents, healing. Any situation in life basically was accompanied with music. I think that was my main inspiration. How can our life become like this, that music is really suffusing it?
Perhaps the answer to this question lies in fetal development. Both sound and rhythm play a fundamental role during our time in the womb. And this may actually create the emotional intimacy we feel towards music.
I think basically what's happening is that this small organism is under the waves of the heartbeat constantly from the beginning. It's in this pulsating field, and even before it hears it, it's this constant contraction, expansion, and the fetus feels actually this sound on the whole body, affecting the whole system. Yeah, it's swimming in this ocean of vibration, and then amazingly fairly early, I think fifth month, that the sense of hearing is fully developed, and then start all these differentiations of sound impressions. You know, this is like the first 8-9 months of coming into existence and being surrounded in this amazing soundscape, very intense, no rest of it. You know, because in the night, actually, maybe there's no environmental sounds, but then all the digestive fluids and stuff, and that's huge, those sounds, you know, and that going on. So there's this strong sensory storm almost, and then fascinating to understand that apparently the sensory input for that small organism creates the brain, creates the neurons, makes everything, the synapses, growing and stuff like this. So that you can see actually the brain is grown through hearing. I had lots of experience with parents with children who were affected very strongly by music. And it was always traceable back to what the mother listened to when she was pregnant. My first experience was I was babysitting in San Francisco in the 80s for a Nicaraguan family. And I was 22, and they said, they were all going out, and they said, hey, if there's any problem with the baby, just put on that, at that time it was still cassette tapes, you know, just put on that music. And that was a Police song, yeah? And they showed it to me. They said, don't worry, you know, they put on this music before they left. And suddenly this baby went into this hype, dancing, moving, trance state from crying into happiness. And there's this beautiful magic walking with small children in preschool up to six years, yeah? Before kind of like the mental really zooms in and analyzes everything and kids, working with music and sound with kids is really magic. I experienced so deep states and happenings where I sometimes got scared. And I said, how possible? I just, often the kids fell into a trance. In the trance, they enacted something where I thought, where is it coming from? Suddenly that small boy of 4 years became like a llama. In India, also in music families, they say that education and music training starts in the womb. So I've been with a Kashmiri family, musician family, where 7-8 months, they bring for the pregnant mother a musician 1.5-2 hours every day. Hey. Just in 7-8 months, and 9 months they let it rest again. And that's when they start music training.
And in the last half century, scientists and musicians alike have begun to seriously study the relationship between music and its therapeutic effect on both our psychology and our physiology. Music therapy, also known as sound work, has become a rapidly growing topic in the fields of neuroscience and psychology. Sound work begins with the premise that all matter is composed of atoms, and all atoms have the ability to vibrate at a certain rate. The rate, or frequency, at which a group of atoms vibrates creates a specific sound. By utilizing rhythm, tone, and harmony, one has the ability to create music using these vibrations. two important concepts lie at the heart of sound work: resonance and entrainment. Resonance can be understood as the frequency at which an object vibrates. In other words, it is the natural frequency of a group of atoms. For example, if we took a tuning fork and tuned it to the key of A, it would naturally oscillate at the frequency of 440 Hz. So, 440 Hz would be its resonant frequency. Now let's say we took another tuning fork, also tuned to the key of A, and placed it near the first tuning fork. The second fork would begin to vibrate on its own, although it has been struck by nothing except sound waves. This is the concept of entrainment. Entrainment occurs when the oscillation of one object causes a second object to oscillate at the same exact frequency. But even more fascinating, depending on the flexibility of object B, object A can actually cause object B to vibrate at an even higher frequency than it's naturally used to. We see this occur when an opera singer causes a wine glass to shatter. The wine glass has entrained to the singer's voice and has been pushed to a frequency so high its atoms are no longer stable in their original form. This causes the glass to shatter. Entrainment appears constantly in nature, and it's especially applicable to human beings because we're so adaptable. For example, the McClintock effect, in which women living in close proximity find that their menstrual cycles start to match up, that can be viewed as a case of biological entrainment. And lovers, when they're sharing that precious intimate moment, well, they tend to have matching heartbeats. And students who work really well together, well, they find themselves reading each other's minds. So what can we do with these principles of sound work? And how can we apply them in any practical manner?
When we started to make our research about the link between the frequencies and how it works with our brains, so the first things we have found is that first, our brain uses frequencies. Our cells, all our body use frequencies to communicate. I'm Thierry Mukazambo. I'm a performer and I'm the assistant of Philippe.
I'm Philippe Pelen Baldini, director, choreographer of the show Embracing the Planet.
We came in Auroville to experiment and live this process of creation. We were very interested by the researches of Robert Monroe, who developed a specific technology called HEMI synchronization of the two hemispheres of the brain. So, and it was very interesting through all his research about how to reach specific state of consciousness through using different kind of frequencies.
It turns out that when an individual is exposed to two different sound frequencies at the same time, the brain does a very funny thing. It actually takes the two separate inputs and subtracts the larger frequency from the smaller frequency. The sound that the individual hears is actually the difference between the two incoming sounds. This frequency is known as a binaural beat. Practitioners can use binaural beats to entrain the brain to a desired brainwave frequency. This can result in an individual's brain producing different states of consciousness, affecting mood and general well-being.
I found that a lot of scientists were very interested to work with the frequencies in the goal to heal people, because the goal to use frequencies is to heal, to balance, and that was very interesting. Not to destroy, but to heal, to balance. So we have different level of consciousness according to different kind of brain waves. If you want to reach, for instance, delta, which is corresponding to something very deep, deep sleep, so you have to use a very specific frequency. When we were dreaming about Embracing the Planet, we wanted to experience immersive experience to share with the audience and to see how we can, through frequencies, but all kind of frequencies, sound, image, words, and energy of the actors, the dancers, how we can immerse the audience and share with the audience a living experience, not only a story, but a living experience, and live a journey together. What was important for us, because as I told you, we were looking for a kind of modern ritual, it was to say, okay, how we can link a community. You know, we are together, and how we can use frequencies to be together, you know, because that's also, it's an indigenous tradition, it's very important to heal the community, that the community is together, we find the good frequencies to be together. Otherwise, we are alone, we are separated, we fight together, and we lose the strength of the community. So how we can through a performance, a ritual, to link everybody and tune our frequencies.
Philippe and Thierry were especially inspired by the San Bushmen, an indigenous hunter-gatherer tribe of South Africa. Through ancient ritual traditions, the San Bushmen aimed to bring the community to a higher state of consciousness.
They have a ritual they call the great dance. It's a great dance. So they do this great dance, they perform this great dance. In fact, there's no precise moment to do the great dance. But at one moment, we don't know when, but the community feel that they have to perform the great dance. And they perform the great dance. It's a very concentrated dance, you know, very connected to the earth. So the women are chanting and clapping. The same clap. And the dancer are around her, and they dance on the earth, on the soil, on the earth, on the ground, and they receive the energy of Mother Earth, and this energy comes through their legs and go into their belly, and they receive an energy that we call nom. So they say it's boiling energy because it's burning, it's burning inside their belly, and after this energy rise, and go into the head, and it created an illumination, a kind of illumination, and they call this energy Aya.
One movement after I stayed with indigenous people was like, where are my roots, where is my origin, and what's the music where I'm coming from? So it was like, what's my authentic music? And so it was more like a search for that. And that's how I started to just use materials, natural materials, some simple instruments, and sound with voice. I explored lots of voice, and I even was writing my own songs.
Aurelio's search into his own musical roots led him to begin work in sound healing, working towards helping other people reconnect with the world around them through the use of sound.
Sound work, as you say, meaning being there in the perception and production of vibration, which was foremost vocal, yeah? I think that's at the origin of any medical intervention. What I appreciate working in a sound healing modality, that it's more focused on the pure effect of sound and vibration. And the basic premise is, I think, actually, bringing the people in a deep, relaxed state. So let's say also that the brain waves changes into an alpha, into a receptive pose. And in that state, actually, from my experience, there's almost like a natural alignment, natural balancing happening. I think it depends very much on what the case is, but it goes through an archetypal setting. There's an entering phase, there's a building up phase, there is a climax there is a coming out of it. So I use different instruments when I feel the need of it. I even can do some rattling before with the people, use some bells, depending on where, what I feel like is needed, yeah? And then bring the patient into a state where he trusts and relaxes. Often it's easier to relax first on the belly, you still have this protection there. And then using calming more and more down, yeah, and then going into the vibration of the strings of the sound band. And that usually, of course, it's constantly this playing, invoking a force, setting a high intent of harmonization, observing what's happening and flowing with it. Often sometimes the integration, it can happen in the last half minute. You know that the person sometimes when you're over and you're finished and you're almost asking the person how to say to come back and feel their body, you see in that moment the release is there and the integration. Like, so when you have people with sleeplessness, for instance, that's usually preoccupied minds. I mean, it can have different factors and origins, but it's kind of like people who cannot distance themselves from the workings of the mind. How can you cross that strong threshold?
If you try to understand with your mind in an intellectual process, it's not possible to leave the journey. The sound and the image, in fact, it's a frequency of the sound, frequency of the image, can help to switch off the mind, calm the thought, to go in a kind of silence, to receive those frequencies and to start the journey. If you are in your mind, you cannot be open to the healing dance or healing chant.
So for instance, the stronger vibrations in the lower abdominal region, that hopefully can, how to say, shift the energy. You can see actually if you have a person like this lying there, you can see where there is predominant inner movement happening. One indicator which I'm using quite a bit for people to bring them into it is like inviting them that they are observers to what's happening. And they are not the victims that they're not feeling, they're experiencing all this. Yeah. It helps to be a bit outside. And see, okay, there are sensations happening, there are my reactions to sensations, there are my reactions in mind. So that is part of me, of the tuning process, is a little bit bringing them a bit into an observing position.
Using different sound frequencies within their art, both Aurelio and Philippe find a profound change in consciousness that may have the potential to heal.
Yeah, I mean, let's say with the sound bed, it's basically mostly that people go into a very deep state of relaxation, which basically also dissolves this apparent material limitation and nature. I mean, you can say almost like 90% have this experience of dissolving body limits, so to say, out of body experiences or body expansion, having a reflection onto the body, diving into cosmic oneness, fusing into something, melting into something. That's a general tone because that's part of the aim of that setup. So yes, of course, the state of consciousness, that's what changes. And usually you can say when we are unwell, when we are in dis-ease, is because we are caught up in one specific narrowed in state of consciousness, a limited one.
Separation is limitation. You feel alone. You try to find a solution by yourself. When you feel the unity, you are co-creator with God, with the universe you work with. So you are much more stronger and you feel your nature is unlimited. So, of course, separation, it's kind of illusion first. And you sleep. You are in an illusion, you sleep, you are in your... And it's hard. It's difficult, it's heavy. It's not only we are separated from nature and the world, and only we are separated of ourselves also. Disconnected with ourselves, the neuroscientists and biologists teach us, is that no, there's another way we can co-create with nature. We are a part of this nature. Separation, disconnection, and how this artistic process can reconnect you to this oneness. You feel we are all interdependent and you experiment this oneness, or you feel the world like a multitude of division, duality, separation.
Healing lies in the experience of that we are part of something larger. Yeah, what I said before, when our consciousness is limited and caught up and preoccupied with this pain or with this organic disorder and stuff like this, this is one part or section of reality. Reality is much larger. So how to connect into that context?
For us, art and especially live performance can be and must be an initiatic process. When the show starts, the music, the frequency, the movement, it's also about frequency or movement, we enter in another dimension. It's like hypnotic. And it's also organic. The things that you can only understand from the body of the dancer to your own body. It's a biological story. From the cells to the cells. Wise people say that art has been created by the gods to reveal the divine beauty. It means to reveal the real nature of everyone, the self. There is a kind of catharsis, and the audience project on the actors their own story. That's the first level. But the second level, deeper, is it's also a process of you, because you switch your mind, because you touch your heart, you open and you live the journey like the performers. And by a way or another, you dive in a kind of vastitude, something bigger than you, and you touch something, yourself. In fact.
Also, what's crucial, even now in music therapy studies after 30 years, is the trust field. That's first, yeah? Actually, whatever you use in therapy, if it's sound or herbal medicine or tools or energetics or mudras, whatever you would use secondary. In sound healing, it's so apparent that there is no separation between the inner and the outer and the you and the me. That everything is kind of like in a state of flux and change and rhythms and cycles and undulations. And my mind is just also a wave, and that other mind is also a wave. In that constant flux of everything, of the waves and the particles, I don't know where it's coming from, but there is also something there which is a touch of something else, of that from where this flux originates, or where it flows into, or that which sustains it.
And now the neuroscientist and biologist explain that, this connection about energy and matter. How everything is energy, how the frequency can help us to balance the two parts of the brain, how the frequency can touch the cells and reharmonize something. How the sickness is just a question of unbalanced disorganization.
The two basic premises in healing work is awareness, aware with whatever is going on in that moment, within you, with that other person. You're just aware and you're observing it, and you deal with it from your center. Yeah. And the second thing is compassion. Awareness means also that even you observe yourself in that process of giving that restriction. Mm. that you're aware of this whole phenomenon of reality. Yeah. So awareness is almost like a structure of clarity. There you have that objectivity, you can say. Yeah. And I think actually like that meditators or practitioners, if you put them aside to scientists, they have a possibly a stronger degree of really awareness. Yeah. Yeah, I've been with beautiful scientists and stuff like this. There's so many black spots and areas where they're absolutely unaware. So you have that awareness there as the basic structure, upholding it, upholding clarity, objectivity, and our sense of sensory reality and functionality and all of that. And then you have this other thing flowing through it, the compassion. Now, where is compassion coming from? What is it? What's the sense of it? Now, that would be beautiful if we come with science to it.
It's about compassion and love. You cannot treat someone without compassion. I know it's not the professional way for many doctors who want to put a distance, kind of protection. But for me, in a traditional point of view, it's always about compassion and empathy. I think if they have a better understanding of themselves and their own body, they will understand more the body of the others. It's about the skills you can use, the tools you can use. It's not only chemical medication, it's also about frequency, about energy, about how you can make your patient responsible of his own evolution and recovery.
So if you have awareness and compassion means that something can flow, then you're safe. But to have that can be a lifelong training. Then people always say, you know, people who are skeptical and says, what, look at all those healers, you know, they're all kind of like, each one has their hang up. That's why they're in their profession. To process their own thing, to come into wholeness themselves. So which makes actually the healer's journey a lifelong journey. And it's a beautiful way how to say your own journey into wholeness if you can share it with others. Of course, there's a big responsibility there when you're in a specific position in that equation. Yeah, but it's always a learning.
As scientific technology continues to develop, scientists are beginning to find more and more parallels with ancient knowledge. Furthermore, researchers are paying more attention to the efficacy of art and music as a form of therapy.
You know, we have one premise in our will which speaks about taking advantage of all the discoveries of the past, but also not getting stuck with them, but leaping courageously into the future. So I think what's the call of the hour is integration. And why shouldn't we integrate systems which have been running since 3,000 years? Take a look at Chinese history. I mean, they have everything recorded since thousands of years. Cases, yes? Yeah?
Ancient knowledge are still useful. Very useful. And we have not, as we did in the history of humanity, we killed a part of our people, of our knowledge, of our humanity. We killed all the indigenous. It's wild people. It's ancient world. It's savage, wild. We have to kill that. Now we are civilization. We are big civilization. We have to be civilized. We have to be modern. You know, we created this kind of illusion of modernity, being modern, you know, so being industrial. We have still to be in contact with this knowledge. And this knowledge are still useful. They can help us. Mm. They can help us to be better, to be in balance with the nature, with ourselves, you know. And maybe we have to find another way to think modernity, to think development, to think humanity.
If we are courageous enough to take in all those amazing things which we learned about the last 40,000 years. We have it all, and imagine integrating all those things, then how to say we can progress, we can solve all the challenges and questions of humanity. And I think it's all about integration and finding synthesis in whichever way we can do it. We're all mixed up, And we should take advantages of all the best things we have.
Yet, it seems that, at least in the West, we'll have to transcend certain cultural barriers if we'll have any hope of exploring the vast potential of the human mind.
In the West, we're very strong mind-centered. We want everything explained. We've been raised like this. It's in our coding since the last maybe almost 2,000 years. Like, so going back into Greek culture, we need to understand how everything works. Yeah, and we went a bit in a one-sided direction. We know now that all the scientists, all the discoverers, all the managers, the crucial decisions and discoverings is like gut feeling. Most of the most important decisions of managers and crucial politicians, it comes from an instant. You weigh everything, you use the mind where it's needed for analysis and all of that, but how to say, the real thing is happening from a wholeness. Yeah? So I think in this exploration of mind, we got a bit caught up in it and just like overemphasized its capacity. And of course the West, kind of like the mind is on top of the evolutionary scale. So it has a little bit this, or quite a bit that elitism. You know, we know it all, and here are those primitive people, and that's all done with. And then also, medicine, it's a big business. It's power. It's the strongest power. Fear. You work with fear of humanity. It's the strongest power you can have. And that power, you combine it with money, you have a tight grip.
If there's one thing we can say with certainty, it's that there is such a vast amount of potential still to be discovered within the human brain. The beautiful collaboration between science and art may one day help us to better understand ourselves and our role on this precious earth.
It's about how we live with the nature around, with yourself, or it's about conflict and domination.
I think the first human wanted to understand what, to feel what is to be alive, to be in connection with life, to be in connection with life. We can use frequencies, sound, music, you know, to be better and to feel, because we have to open new doors, to have a new sight, new feeling about our environment, about nature, about people around us. But we must feel. It's like we don't feel anymore enough.
Well, I think actually it's almost symptomatic how sound healing is appearing more and more, and there's more and more interest in the young generation. Music was always kind of like bridging the known material reality with the unknown and the numinous. I mean, beautiful on the other hand, we still haven't found its full capacity of it. It's still a fascinating field of exploration, neurology and all the related science to it. We will get more and more instruments which will bring us in contact and teach us about frequencies, teach us about the vibrational layer of reality. I believe in acoustic instruments, I believe in materials, I believe in the vibration of wood and glass and metal.
When you feel linked, you feel loved and blessed. But for that, you must open your relax to give up the competition and the, always this idea to be a winner or a loser, and it's difficult. You know the story, Eckhart Tolle said that in one of his books. He spoke about the beggar who was on a seat on a box. And always he asked for money. But someone tell him, but you sit on a box. But did you open the box one day? He never opened the box. And so he opened the box and he saw there is full of gold coins inside the box. So sometimes we don't know how much we are rich and how much the wealth is inside, and we live like beggar. So the work to be independent and in the same way interdependent, just a part of this great debt that is bigger than them, give you another balance.